You need to know that God has a plan for your life, and that plan is good. And before I even go any further in this message, I just want to say to you that one of the blessings of getting a little older is being able to look back on my life. And so many times when maybe in the moment I didn't feel like it was good, but looking back over it all, I see that his plan was good. And so I testify to you. You know, some people say, well, that's anecdotal evidence. Well, I'm going to give you evidence from the Word of God tonight that his plan is good. You know, his plans for us are not automatic, as some religious people contend or pretend. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they'll just say, well, God's going to do what he's going to do. Que sera, sera, blah, blah, blah. Garbage. Read the Bible. His plans are not automatic. In fact, Jesus says we are to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a reason that we have to pray that. But when we get with the plan of God, I want you to know that it is always good. Psalm 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a lot of scripture that tell us straight up that God is good. This is something that Satan and wicked evil men and religious people and even some believers seem to bring into question, is the goodness of God. You need to know that this is an eternal part of his character and his person and who he is, that he is a good God. Always, he's always good. You can't change that. He doesn't change. Amen. He's always good. And you know it says taste and see? Because, well, you just got to experience it for yourself. It's one thing if somebody else tells you. It's even something if you read it in the Bible. But when you experience it, oh, that changes everything. I wish everybody knew how good the Lord is. But they don't. I'm telling you, a lot of even so-called believers, they just don't really understand how good he is. They just don't get it. And he gets maligned and accused and blamed for all kinds of things. You know, people will talk about other people being a good person. Oh, they're such a good person. Do you know I've never been to the funeral of a bad person? Every one of them, oh, they were a good person. They were a good person. And yet when it comes to God, it's amazing how people question or they have doubts in their heart and in their mind about just how good God is. Strange. They just don't really know him because he is good. We need to remember that the Lord is good and that he has good plans for our life. And we certainly go through a lot of things that are not good. Did you know that not everything that happens in your life was the plan of God? We have something to do with that. Yeah, we do. But we just need to remember that the Lord is good and he has planned good for us. In fact, I believe that that has to get down inside of our heart, that we can know, we can have absolute confidence that we believe that he has a good plan for my life. You know, we all go through some bad things in life. Don't blame the Lord. Blame the devil, your adversary. He's the one who's against you. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? God's not against you. Listen, if God is against you, you're messed up. I'm just telling you, you're in a world of hurt. You're headed for a whole lot of trouble. And if you don't change, you're headed to hell. As I must tell you, God is for you. If you're a child of God, he's for you. He's not against you. Sometimes some bad things happen. It's amazing. People blame the Lord instead of taking the blame themselves, blaming their own choices and mistakes. Or maybe sometimes, you know, well, we ought to just blame the wrongs of others. I mean, when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and he went through such a terrible time in his life of being a slave and then being thrown in a prison as like some kind of convict and forgotten, and he went through all of that. It was years, probably 12 years that all of this happened. But when it was over, he told his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And you see, that's how good our God is. Even when we make wrong choices, even when people do evil to us, they mean it for harm, but yet somehow God can turn it around. That's how good he is. If we'll trust him, God can work it all out for our good. I think that's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works them together for the good of those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. He's working it all out for our good. What an amazing God who's so good, he can work it all together for our good. No matter how it looks, we need to always believe his plan is good. If we lose that, we'll lose hope and we'll give up. David said in Psalm 27:13, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." See, David was looking forward. He was going through a terrible time. He said, "I would have lost heart, but I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He believed that God had a good plan, that he was going to see goodness in the days that are ahead. And you need to know that when you go through a hard time, believe to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. Don't give up. See, get your faith up. It's amazing when you really know the character of God, how it builds and strengthens your faith. Because if you know just how good God is, you don't have any reason to ever doubt. And if you know that God has a good plan for your life, you don't have any reason to doubt, to ever give up. Expect, see, you know he has a good plan, then expect to see God's goodness in your life. I told you earlier, it's not automatic. You got to pray and believe for it. Jeremiah 29 and 11, it's become really popular in our generation. In the NIV, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's a good plan. If we don't believe, I want to tell you, we'll mess it up. Here's the plan of God. I'm just going to give you an example, all right? Here's the plan of God, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I think that's a great plan. What an awesome plan that God had. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a plan. Did you know that a lot of people are missing the plan of God? They don't believe, and they're missing the plan of God for them to be able to live eternally with him. You got to believe. You got to believe the plan of God. Now, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about one verse of scripture, but you need to understand that in all areas of our life, our God is a good God, and we need to believe so that we will see his goodness in every area of our life. I'm just telling you, people miss the plan if they don't believe. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Believe to see the goodness of God, the good plan that he has for your life. When it looks bad, that's when you believe. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. And when you don't see it, that's when you have to believe what God has said and believe his word and believe how good he is. Don't go by what you've seen in the past. What just hadn't been that good. Believe. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Our God requires that we have faith. Let me just explain a little bit exactly why that is. You see, our faith rests upon his word and what he has said. We believe what he has said. To not believe what he said will never please him. That is displeasing to the Lord. We believe the word of God. We believe every promise is true. When you read Hebrews 11, the rest of that chapter, it lists out all these heroes of faith. And I want you to know, they're all listed there because they believed what God said and they saw the plan of God fulfilled in their life. Because they believe. You need to believe that God has a good plan for you. Noah saved his family building the ark that God told him to build. Like a crazy man, he's building a big giant boat where there's no need for one. But I want you to know God had a good plan. It was a plan to save this man and his family. Abraham took his son, his only son, his promised son, it took him up on the mountain to sacrifice him at the word of the Lord. How could he do such a thing? He knew that God was good. He actually believed God was just going to raise him back from the dead if he obeyed the Lord and sacrificed him. God had a plan. God had a plan for the children of Israel to go into the promised land and possess the land. He had a plan for them to take that first great city, that walled city of Jericho. And his plan was good. But his plan had to be carried out by faith. They didn't have a plan to go in there with battering rams and ramps. No, God told them to march around the city and on the seventh day, seven times, and then they give a shout, and the walls all fell down. God had a plan, and it was a good plan. You know, see, sometimes we just need to get with the plan of God, and the issue there is do we trust him enough, do we believe him enough that we'll do what he says? See, the Lord's plans for our life are good, but we'll never know it if we don't believe. So it's so important you hear this message tonight and believe that God's plan for your life is good. Now, if you don't believe that, who would want to serve the Lord? He got a bad plan for your life. It's just kind of mediocre. Let's get out of that and let's really believe that God has a good plan. Amen. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:7-11, and this is about prayer, but I want you to consider it in the context of what we're talking about tonight, about God having a good plan for you. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? All of us who have children, We all want things to go well for our children. We want things to be good for them. You know, Jesus says, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? I mean, if we want things to be good for our kids, we don't want harm to come to them. No, we want things to fall into place. We want things to be right. We want to see them happy. And yeah, see, don't you think that God wants you to be in a good place and He wants to work things out for your good? Yes. See, we need to change our thinking about this and really get this right. He has good things planned for us. Amen. Now, you know, when your kids make their own decisions, you know, when you get adult children, sometimes they go away we wouldn't have picked, right? But we want good things for them always. How can we doubt that our Heavenly Father wants anything but good for us? How much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? See, we should never doubt that. Good things. Now, you know, when Jesus talks about giving your kids good things, do you give your children everything they want? I hope not. That would not be good. I read somewhere that children who had ice cream for breakfast did better on their test scores. I'm going to tell Matt to tell the kids. No, not really. But here's the thing. You see, we all know what's best for kids. And our Heavenly Father, He knows what's best for us. We need to trust Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What's the rest of that verse? Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And that is so much a part of the key, is that we trust Him. We believe God wants to do something good in our life. God wants to do something good in my life. So you need to say that to yourself. God wants to do something good in my life. Well, if you could say it and believe it, say it. God wants to do something good in my life. That's awesome if you believe that. God wants to do something good in my life. You know, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So speak life. Some of us would need to change our mind. You've already decided that your life is never going to be that good. God has something better. You need to change your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We'll read it through and then we'll just look at verse 1 first. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In verse 1, it tells us we're to fully give ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. If we want the plan, the will of God in our life, we got to put ourselves on the altar. We got to be willing to turn our life over to Him. This is something that's being left out of so much of Christianity today. This is why, you know, I'm just not for this thing. Well, just pray this prayer. Just give your life to God. You want to experience Him? You want to live the life that God has for you? Turn your life over to Him. This is your reasonable service, to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Turn it over to Him. See, a lot of people that say, oh, well, I would be willing to die for the Lord. You know, if they were going to try to put the mark of the beast on me, I would die for the Lord. But they're not willing to live for Him. To live for Him every day. Die to self every day. And instead, live for the Lord. But I want you to understand, you see, if we're going to really follow God's plan, We got to follow his plan instead of ours. We put ourselves as a living sacrifice. Turn it over to him because we're going to do it his way. I don't care how popular it was. One of the dumbest songs anybody ever sang is "I Did It My Way." How'd that work for you? How much better to do it his way? And people miss the plan of God because they do their own plan instead of his plan. We want his plan, his will. We got to be willing to turn our life over to him. I can tell you why people don't do that. There's a lot of different reasons, but the bottom line is they don't trust him. Because if you knew how good he is, oh, you'd trust him. One more time, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The man who trusts in him will find out just how good he is. And you know, I think a lot of times people approach the scripture cafeteria style, where they pick and choose which verses of the Bible that they believe or that they'll apply to their life, and they reject others. And it's the same a lot of the time with the plan, the will of God. Well, I like that, but I don't like that. And maybe some of that, but I don't want none of that. And I just want you to understand it doesn't work that way. That's why we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. If we want the plan of God in our life, we got to turn our life over to him. And next, if we want the plan of God in our life, we got to change our mind. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It will transform your life when you renew your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Stop acting like the world. How do we stop acting like the world? Change your mind. You got to renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? How are you going to do that when we are so surrounded every day by the attitudes of the world, carnal people, all kinds of media and stuff coming at us, whether it's through the TV, the internet, the radio, whatever else, we're just surrounded by all of this stuff of the world. How are we going to renew our minds to where we actually think different than the world around us? We're going to have to focus on the Word of God. We're going to have to separate ourselves and have some time where we spend reading God's Word, meditating God's Word. And we need to look for opportunities to be taught the Word of God. See, like tonight, I believe God will make some changes in your heart and mind if you'll hear and receive this message. But somebody sitting home tonight watching TV, they're not going to get their mind renewed tonight. You understand what I'm saying? Now let's just repeat that 1,000 times. You see, we need to be renewing our mind all the time so that we won't be like the world. So we will know the plan of God, the will of God in our life. See, he says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what happens when we renew our mind. To prove the will of God, it's to test it like metal is tried in a fire. That doesn't mean that we try it and see if we like it. Like, tell me what it is, God. Tell me what your will is. Tell me what the plan is. And then I'll decide if I want to do that. They don't even know him. Because if somebody really knew him, they would want his plan always, forever, whether they understand it, whether it looks good to them or not. they would want his plan. He knows what you don't know. He sees the things down the road, years from now, decades from now. He sees the things of eternity, things that we couldn't possibly know or understand. We just look at the right here and the right now and don't want to trust him. Oh, how we need to get to the place where we turn our lives over to him and we trust him enough to allow him to lead and guide our lives. A lot of times people are just not that happy, not really enjoying life. And maybe some even, well, they're just plain miserable. And they think, well, the Lord just doesn't seem to be that good to me. I'm telling you, God has a good plan for your life.
Yes, he does.
Sometimes people will say, well, I've been serving the Lord for many, many years, but they haven't presented themselves as a living sacrifice. They're still doing it their way. That's not serving the Lord. They're still pursuing their plans instead of God's plans. His plans are so much better. See, Satan deceives people and binds them up to keep them from the plan and purpose of God. Sometimes God's plans are different than what we had planned. Like Abraham, when he's going to sacrifice Isaac, he believed God would raise him from the dead. God had a different plan. He stopped him from sacrificing him. But I just want you to understand something. God's able to raise your dreams from the dead. You need to believe him that much, just like Abraham did. Believe him that much. Whatever happens, God can fix it.
Amen.
Let me tell you a little bit about the plan of God for my life. My life is not all roses. It's been a wild ride. I'll take credit for that. But I just want to tell you, some of you heard this before, but after I turned my life over to the Lord, God just put it in my heart. I wanted to be a junior high youth pastor, and I had met with my pastor, and we had had conversations about that, about me working with the junior high, and I started teaching the junior high Sunday school class, and I was doing a junior high Bible study and fellowship every Saturday, and I was going after it, and then something really weird happened. There was a shift and a change in the structure of the authority of the church, and another man, another elder, was put over the whole youth department. And he didn't like me, and he brought in another guy and pushed me out. I cried like a baby. I left, went to Bible college. And then after Bible college, I started youth pastoring a church and was there for about a year and a half. Carmen and I met, we got married. I came to Grace as a junior high youth pastor. There was only like three or four in the country in 1982, a junior high youth pastor. It was a strange thing to be in full-time ministry as a junior high youth pastor, but it was something that God had put in my heart, and he fulfilled it. He worked that plan out, and here's what I know. That is not at all the way I had it planned or the way I thought it would go. But looking back, I know how much I needed my time at Bible college so that I could learn to rightly divide the word of truth. I needed that. And all I know is that God had his hand. I was at the right church at the right time to meet the most wonderful woman in the world. And you all can vouch for what I'm saying. It's amazing when you look at the plan of God, how he works it all out. We just have to trust him. One step at a time. It's like the headlights on a car. You know, when it's dark outside, your headlights only shine so far. But when you get a little further, they shine a little further down the road. And you just keep going. And a lot of the time, that's the way the Lord leads us. Most of the time, the Lord doesn't show us 5-10 years down the road. I mean, he might put something in your heart for 10 years or 20 years down the road. But the point is that we have to do God's will right now, right where we are. The next step that he gives us, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. See, it's the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps. We trust the Lord, follow his plan and will, one step at a time. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's amazing how the Lord can just work it out. Even when it seems like we're far from the path, he still has a plan. There was a time when I got kind of burnt out, wanted to leave a church where I was pastoring, but I didn't feel released to go. And then some months later, I knew the Lord had released me, but it was a difficult time where, you know, I was in between positions for a lengthy period, and we ended up at this church. We knew we were supposed to be there, and I got hired for $6 an hour as the secretary receptionist. And after you've been in ministry for 20 years full-time, that's hard. I told them no at first, and then I knew in my spirit I was supposed to take it, so I called them and I said, I'll take it. And after a short time, they hired me as the youth pastor. That's a funny story I won't get into. But anyway, they hired me as a youth pastor. And here's the amazing thing. It was the best time of all of my youth ministry that I ever had. And I got to youth pastor my own kids. Now, Jonathan has far, far exceeded me as a youth pastor. But I got to have a little bit of a part in planting a seed and a vision in that young man of what a youth ministry was supposed to be like, is I got to be his youth pastor. But I'm just telling you, who would have ever thought? How did I ever get to do that? I was just in the plan of God. He knew. A lot of things happen we don't understand. You know, when the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, think about this. When he was converted on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to go to heaven someday. Amen. You know what he said? He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what you call getting with the plan. Acts 21:10-14. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and his feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when he heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. I mean, what were they wanting, something besides God's will? I hope not. But some people speculate that Paul was out of the will of God to go to Jerusalem. But he knew in his heart that it was part of the will of God, the plan of God for his life. That's why he says, I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's already been through all kinds of whippings and beatings and been stoned. I mean, they stoned him to kill him. But God had a plan. And none of those things could deter him from that plan. God had put something in his heart to live that life, to be that man, to be used of God in that way. It was more important to him than life itself. When I knew it was the plan of God for me to come back to Grace as pastor, part of me didn't want to because I knew there was going to be people that hated me. And they were. And it was difficult. Now, I am so thankful that God has blessed me to pastor this church. I feel like the most blessed pastor in the world. I don't think there's a group of people anywhere in the world gathered at a church as sweet as this group. I really believe that. We are a blessed church. And it's not just me. Did you know I hear it from other people all the time, from new people, people that have been here just a little while, they'll say, everybody's so nice here to act like Christians. I love this church. I love being here. I am just thankful and so blessed.
Yes, we are too.
But we just need to hear this. Yeah, sometimes there's hard places along the way. God has a good plan. You can trust him. You know, some people get mixed up about this. They're afraid God's going to call them to Africa. If God calls you to Africa, it'll be the greatest joy of your life. If you've ever had the privilege of talking to our missionaries, they will tell you that, yes, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But when they're home on furlough, they can't wait to get back. Gonna be storms, gonna be trouble, gonna be such joy. Our God is not some evil personality or cosmic killjoy whose goal is to make you miserable. He loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life, good things in store for you, and he wants you to know it. Think about this. The devil, all of Satan's demons, and evil men could not stop the plan of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled it all. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, a name above every name, and every knee will bow and confess him as Lord. Amen. That was the plan of God. Do you know, evil men and demons tried to stop the Apostle Paul. They couldn't stop him. God fulfilled his plan for the Apostle Paul. You need to know that evil men and demons can't stop the plan of God in your life. Yes, they can attack you. Yes, it can be hard at times, but they cannot stop the good plan of God. They're no match for him. You can trust him to get you through. Believe that his plan is good. Trust him enough to turn your life over to him. Get with the plan. Renew your mind with the word of God. Start thinking like he thinks and trust him more and more every day. Believe and go after his plan for your life. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And I'm going to let you be dismissed.